about the zoomies.
Oh, I go nuts. These riffs are going to be crazy. Hello and welcome to Punta Vista, episode 322. I am Ben, and I am here a little ways outside Fort Stockton, Texas, by the side of Interstate 10, at the Ayn Rand Memorial All-American Freedom Three-Way Combination Zoo Free Speech Zone and Gas Station. It's a beautiful day as patriotic families take in the delights of a zoo that fully encompasses the values of self-determination, personal responsibility, and 100% unregulated commerce between individuals. With me, rolling coal in a Ford F-350 while driving 120 miles per hour through the rhinoceros enclosure with a BAC of 0.25, it's Lucy. Hi, Lucy.
Oh, hi. What's a great day for me.
These fucking soy leftist cucks going to regular zoos, just wouldn't know how good it is to have 20 beers.
They don't know what it feels like to drink drive.
No. And then
have you even drunk driven before? Leftists.
Yeah. Try it once and you'll start voting Republican like 100%. Immediately. You're swapping out those yard signs because you felt the freedom of closing your eyes for a little bit. Just feeling the curve of the road.
You can have a little sleep while you drive.
Yes.
Yeah.
You can.
You can just close your eyes for a little bit.
They kind of do everything for
you. They basically drive themselves these days, you know?
That's right. And you'll probably be fine if you hit one of those rhinos. Like, your car is huge.
My car is bigger than a rhino.
Yes.
And I use it only to pick up my children from school.
Yeah, that's right. Which is two blocks away.
That's right.
You're also drunk when you do that.
Yeah.
Also with me, having paid one of the zookeepers a clean hundo to allow him to enter the baboon enclosure and give the entire troop a shopping bag full of loose, unfiltered cigarettes and a Monster Energy each, it's Theo. Hi, Theo.
Hey, how you going?
Oh, I'm good. How are you?
I'm great and having a good time in here with the fellas and the ladies. Oh my God.
You guys are vibing. I can just see that. The energy in there is unreal.
Mm-hmm. And they're enjoying the toasted flavor of American tobacco.
That's right.
Do you reckon if we dropped the combination Ayn Randy Center Five Ways Intersect and Free Range Zoo...
I don't want to interrupt you there.
Please.
I would hate to. Can I just backpedal?
Give us the official name as God.
Yeah. So now I don't know if what you've done is you have... retroactively believe that I have named the zoo after your Twitter handle, or if you have had that
Ayn
Twitter
Randy?
Handle for
you
so
did.
Long, you I believed just... that the philosopher's name was Ayn Randy.
No, I just think that she's a sexual figure.
Yeah.
She's
a very horny woman. That is true. Mm. If you can tell from reading some of her writings.
Yeah, but do you think if we took the Ayn Rand Center for Baboon Excellence rolling coal... live monster truck exhibit and like just dropped it back like 2,000 years just in isolation, would it be like their Garden of Alexandrina? Would it just be like something that they worship in a way, like as a cultural menhir?
The Garden of Alexandrina?
I don't know what the fuck it is. The Babylon thing? Where are the books?
Yeah, okay.
Where did they keep the books?
I don't want the tone of this to be that people do a little bit of light improv and then immediately persecuted for every decision that they make. Just really, no, I think that's beautiful. And
find the third person to bully.
To answer your query, I think it would be. I think that they would look at it as a
thank
sort of
you.
Library of Alexandria, a Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
There you go.
Perhaps.
You're on. I'm
maybe
so tired.
Yeah.
Ben, you have to understand.
Yeah. Well, I'm tired too. I had to work a dog event at a bar yesterday and you only had to parent children. So who's the really put upon person? Also with me, having paid 25% higher admission for having a mixed family and now enjoying an objective philosophical debate with Sorry, I'm just reading what I've got written down here. Now enjoying an objective philosophical debate with staff about whether it was self-defense for him to preemptively air-hole one of the giraffes with a Barrett M107 50 caliber sniper rifle that is part of his everyday carry rig out. It's comedian, TV person, and author James Colley. Hi, James. How are you?
I am well. I'm going to just make a note to not tell Miranda I'm on this show.
Don't mention it. And we're hanging out in, I think, under a week. Well, I don't know. We haven't picked a day yet, but we'll.
I'm a big fan of this zoo. I am here specifically misgendering the tapirs.
And they know too. They can tell.
They can feel it. I also like the idea. I was just wondering if there is a there's room in this world for Ayn Randy Newman, a Randy Newman that strictly sings songs about like selfish, yeah. of like you strictly do not have a friend in me. You're on your own.
Short people got only the productivity that they've got reason to live, etc.
I had a year and a half long phase as a teen of being an enormous Ayn Rand
Randy
fan.
Newman.
Oh, really?
An Ayn fan, as we call ourselves.
No real Ayn head. Come on. What?
Yeah, because I don't know how this... You know how sometimes people, they sort of read or they watch a satirical work and they don't get the satirical elements of it?
Oh, you played Bioshock and
thought
this is
Bioshock.
Cool as fuck.
Legitimately, that is what happened. I played Bioshock, and I was like, based on the works of an Ayn Rand. That's interesting.
Everything seems to be going well down here.
Yeah, and then I read Atlas Shrugged, and I was like, wow, that's true. You don't have to help anyone ever. That's a good point.
That's so true.
Because you didn't ask to be born. We don't live in a society.
Is that what it's about?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Oh, that's fucking awesome.
You didn't choose to come into this world, essentially. You didn't ask for anything, so you don't have any responsibilities. Yeah. And there's people
that's
that want
so
stuff
good.
From you. Yeah. Another one of her things is that, like, the idea of giving gifts is inherently bad because a gift is better the more personal sacrifice it has for you. So, like, a more expensive gift is a better gift, which means that it's inherently evil.
That's a mug's game.
Giving gifts, right.
Yeah, she didn't know about thoughtful handmade gifts.
We did promise to get to the big issues immediately on this show, though. If we can, I'm keen to get going.
We're already
James,
there.
Tubs much?
Yeah, tubs much.
Yeah,
bitch.
We were talking about
hundreds
your tubs,
of tubs.
Off
wow.
tape.
Okay, so people won't know listening this, but I've gained like 5 kilos. It's been a stressful couple of months. And
all right,
can
the episode. We're done. The man is surrounded by enormous green tubs. Did you rent these? Is this a service where you hire tubs?
Mistype into the rent-a-tub service?
This comes from the movers that are currently moving. This is the new environmentally friendly way to move, which is they give you boxes that simply cannot actually fit anything that you actually need to move, and then you spend the rest of your life filling it with all the garbage in the world. So that's why I'm surrounded by a series of tubs. The other glass vials and things, they're just my own paraphernalia. They're nothing to do with the move.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I just have certain specimens that I am keeping cool in this room.
I didn't know that moving technology had changed.
I thought cardboard was fine, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put that in the recycling bin.
Oh, you've been using cardboard. I've just been putting it in plastic and then throwing that plastic in the ocean.
Yeah, I think that's fine. Yeah, that's what we support here at this zoo specifically.
If you see a hermit crab in a couple of months dragging one of these tubs through Bondi Beach, that's what's happened.
And they love
his
it
new
too.
Shell.
That's his home.
Yeah,
he's upwardly mobile.
King of the sea now. Well, that's an update on what's happening in the room James Collie is in. But what about an update on a lot of small things that are happening around the entirety of America? It's time for Blotter Watch. So this is a collection of stories taken from police blotters around America from like the last fortnight. Here we go. November 6th, a caller reported at 3:11 p.m. that about an hour earlier, he saw a man in his backyard whom he described as well-dressed in a blue shirt. At that time, police checked the area and were unable to locate any suspects.
Oh.
Yeah, okay.
You got a visit from the porcelain man.
Well, it sounds like you did.
Wait one hot second, because then at 5:16 p.m, the resident reported that the, quote, nicely dressed man who was there earlier had returned to his woods.
Pardon?
Bigfoot got a job.
Well.
He wanted the unknown man checked out because the woods were part of his property. You can't just
have that guy's in my woods. You can't be in my woods, bro.
Yeah. There's a guy in like business clothes in my woods.
Just wandering my woods.
There was also, I did find an actual porcelain man story this week about a woman who was away on holiday and checked her Ring camera. And there was just like a guy had tried to get into her house and she caught it on the Ring camera. Hmm. But he couldn't get in. So now she knew about it but couldn't do anything about it, which is a classic porcelain man
situation. That's a classic porcelain man situation, yeah.
If you didn't have the Ring camera, you would have come home from holiday and wouldn't thought anything was amiss because
you
nothing was.
You think about your woods. I'm not thinking about what's going on in my woods. Like,
yeah. That guy's probably just doing his taxes out there business. Or something.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Probably running an accounting business. Just live in base.
He's just got an agreement to make with the wood nymphs. That's none of your concern.
That's right. November 8th. A caller said his neighbor, quote, went crazy and broke the mirror off of his truck. He noted that his neighbor believed people were messing with his truck and took it out on the caller's vehicle.
Sounds super sane.
Yeah.
So this is two bits of truck violence, though. His truck has been messed with, and now he's taking revenge on other trucks.
Rex Talionis, that's right.
Yeah, a mirror for a mirror leaves the whole world's blind spots on.
Yeah.
It's the real shame is he should be reflecting on his behavior, but he simply cannot, having destroyed all the mirrors. You have a sting for this, right?
Mm-hmm. For jokes that I think would reach the threshold for the comedian of the week, yeah. Theoretically, there is one.
Very early on, though. We don't want to hit that button too early.
No, sometimes you want to just wait and sort of let it get, it feels better.
Yeah, you let it sort of build up, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But don't. Right. Yeah,
like
don't
sort of get close to doing it.
Yeah.
And then pull back entirely.
Yeah, and then the listener won't kind of have that release.
Maybe like for days. Maybe for like that you can squeeze multiple to. Episodes where they would think that we're going to play
it. And they're begging for it as well. They're like, why won't you press the button? Why won't you make it happen? And we won't.
You've been waiting for 6 years to come on this podcast, I think. A caller said that, quote, the Hulk was trespassing on the property and would like him removed. Quote, the Hulk left before police arrived.
I don't know that he did. I don't know that he was there.
Well, yeah, certainly he was not there when they got there. So his story checks out.
Is he a nickname for like a local character? Oh, fuck, it's the
that
Hulk.
Could be. Like every town's got the Hulk.
Yeah, just like a big dude that just sort of roams around having encounters.
It'll be your one day off retirement. You get one call in at the end of the night. Ah, shit, the Hulk's
it's
out.
The Hulk. Oh, fuck's sake. Another Hulk sighting.
We lose another man to the Hulk. Are we talking Ang Lee Hulk or are we talking what the other...
I don't know which one was the bad one or which one was the good one.
We got the Russos, you got the Ang Lee, you got the whoever directed the Edward Norton one.
Oh, there was an Edward Norton Hulk.
Edward Norton.
Norton should
Hulk?
Not be in.
It's a poor
Edward
choice.
Norton should be in dry, miserable dramas.
Yes, or sort of Wes Anderson style twee comedies.
It is funny to me to be annoyed in a kind of Ed Norton way about becoming the Hulk.
Yeah.
So it's real like half a cigarette in his mouth. Oh, so what? I'm going to be the Hulk now. I'm going to be the Hulk.
Fucking sick of being the Hulk. Now, this one's a twofer, all right? So there's two in a row that are worth paying attention to here. November 9th, 10:28 a.m., a man reported finding a bicycle on the sidewalk in front of his property at 229 South Ash Street.
Sure.
Okay. November 10th, 1:19 p.m., a man reported finding two bicycles on his property at 500 South Cedar Street. So,
oh, different house.
Now, yeah, different, completely different place.
Accumulating bicycles.
Same town, though.
I don't want to, like, flex it, but, like, I've done a lot of maths training in my life, and this could get very out of hand very quickly.
Yeah, we don't know whether there's going to be three bikes or four bikes next. Or...
Options.
Ben ran out of fingers.
Oh, I was like, oh, it's just a sequence of square numbers. No, that doesn't make sense because the two wouldn't fit in there. You have a maths degree, don't you, Collie? Give us some series of numbers that begin with one and two.
I have a physics degree.
Fucking who cares then?
Okay. Three, five, seven is a big one. People often forget about that. And nine to be sure.
Yeah.
And do you know what? It goes on for a while after that.
Oh, we've got time.
All right.
November 15th, on the 3000 block of Harrison Crossing Lane, Greenwood, a woman reported at 12:27 p.m. Wednesday that her mailbox had been destroyed sometime overnight by a pumpkin.
Saying by a pumpkin is really... By a pumpkin. You're using like active voice for
of
like a pumpkin's
not
intention.
Not with a pumpkin, but by a pumpkin. That's right.
Assigning agency.
Yes. Why did the pumpkin do this?
Well, he put the explosives in.
I know it's such a thing. Like, do you remember, like, when we were, like, kids, there would be like, it was the Bush era, and people would have like those kind of posters on the wall of like Bushisms or whatever, and you'd see them every so often. There is one of those that has stuck with me my whole life, which is we're fighting an enemy who will kill at the whim of a hat. That's very good.
And that's the pumpkin that's in this scenario? Pumpkin.
Yes, yeah. Yeah. This is a pumpkin that tells people to kill. 100 block of Little Ben Lane, Greenwood. A man reported at 12:13 p.m. Wednesday. A man reported at 12:13 p.m. Wednesday that his mailbox had been damaged by a thrown pumpkin sometime overnight.
A thrown pumpkin? How far? Let's do a whip around. How far could you throw a pumpkin?
Okay, let's establish a baseline size for the pumpkin. Are we talking like regular Kent pumpkin that you would get from the supermarket, probably like 3 to 4 kilos?
Well, this is America, right? So I think their pumpkins come in one American flavor.
Giant. Huge orange. Yeah. Yeah, but probably
hollowed
out.
And are we presuming
out.
Like, yeah, holes in the middle so I can get a good grip on the scary jack-o'-lantern face? That's
yeah, right. Whatever's going to get you the most distance, I think.
I reckon if this is like a hollow jack-o'-lantern pumpkin, which is, I suspect, what might be the case here, I'm getting that bad boy, like, I could get that to the stumps. I reckon I could bowl that a good...
A full 22 yards.
Mm-hmm. Yes, however long a cricket pitch is. Never known.
No one ever worked it out, actually.
They have one piece of string they used to measure the first one. They've just been doing it off that the whole time.
It's getting shorter and shorter over the years.
3,000 block of President's Lane, Greenwood. A man reported at 8:46 a.m. Wednesday that someone struck his mailbox with pumpkin, causing damage to the box.
This is the last week, right? So we're like well past the Halloween, like... Pumpkin.
Oh, you got to get
this
rid of your pumpkins.
You got to get rid of your pumpkin. Yeah.
If anything, these people are doing you a favor. Not the mailbox part, but
why the mailbox?
Yeah, why not the person that lives there?
Yeah, why not smash it through a window?
You know? Fucking dome them. Hey, you left this rotting pumpkin outside. Get ready.
Now you, me, and the Australian listeners understand a lane to have approximately like. 9 addresses on
I
it,
think
right?
of a lane as being a small, almost folksy sort of affair, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, from here to where you can throw a pumpkin.
Yes, that's
and
right.
And they're placing 3,000 blocks on
what's
this?
Is that what that means? I don't understand.
I believe... It goes like 1,000, 2,000.
Or is it the block with the numbers that are like 3,000?
A lesser podcast crew would focus on the pumpkin crime here, but you are pros and 320 episodes in, you're like, let's get to the definition of a lane.
And we've talked about this approximately like 70 times, and we refuse to look
up. And Americans
write
in, and they're like, it makes total sense.
It makes
complete sense.
Like, I think to live on 22,400 John F. Kennedy Lane.
I do not want you to write in if this is incorrect, American listeners, at all. We do not want to hear about it, but I'm pretty certain this means that this is the 30th block of like street blocks on President's Lane, because they're subdivided into, I think, hundreds. That is my understanding. This is just the sort of shit they do, and they think it's normal. And then when you say it's not normal, they write in to say,
It is, actually.
Yeah. America is normal. America's sort of the default country. That's why
the
they make all
country.
The movies.
Yeah.
So no one gets confused. You watch a movie that's set in France and you're like, they're not speaking the
what?
Default language. What's going on over here? Their cars are very little.
Get to America.
Watching the French parts of the movie and being like, well, this is probably just a setup before they get to the... It's like The Exorcist, where it starts in the Middle East and then you get to the normal part in America.
Yeah, every film. And if it doesn't happen, it's just because it's connected to another film. So the post-credits of every foreign film has the characters deciding to emigrate to America.
Just walking up to the ticket counter, 2 tickets to America, please. Yeah. Oh, thank God. Okay, next movie, we're going to be there. We'll be fine. Welfare check on Houstonville Road. Car seat strapped to back of a moped. Not a real baby. Moped operator was participating in a parenting class. Brackets failed.
That's not their business.
Yeah, and the what not to do section of the parenting class is the only fun you get in those things.
Yeah.
Do not do a perfect punt between the posts.
I was just thinking about that skit from Jackass the movie where he's riding around the bicycle with the baby seat attached to the back and just like stacking it in front of everybody. Just thinking about that the other day. Now, that's just good comedy.
November 15th, police were dispatched to Colville Street for a woman possibly stealing mail from mailboxes. Police spoke with her, and she didn't have mail in her possession, but she did have books from the free library on Colville Street.
So she was taking the books out of the like the mailbox library? Is that
So like she opened the like the cute little free library that's in a little box on the street, and she took out a couple of books, and she's like, you know what? Community fucking rules. It's so nice that
you know what? I never read The Da Vinci Code. You know, I'm going to see what the fuss is about.
Oh, they've got Digital Fortress as well. I may as well take both.
Meanwhile, over the road, someone's just slowly loading 38 rounds into the revolver.
I've never read this. A Bryce Courtney book about a delightful cat.
This shit sucks so bad.
Become a lawyer?
These people are like, oh, this would be so nice for the street. And immediately like 20 ultra-narcs have called the cops.
There was one that I went to Mackay to see my family like 6-9 months ago. And there was one like they'd taken an old fridge and turned it into a community library and put it at a park. And I thought, you know what? That's wonderful. Mackay, you know, it's not on the up and up sort of economically and stuff. You know, it's tough. What a lovely thing. Week later, burnt down. Someone set the library on fire.
Oh. Yeah.
That's exactly like the Garden of Alexandrina.
Yeah, absolutely. Imagine. I mean, there's likely more copies of Dean Kuntz's The Spooky Road available, but... Have we checked?
It would be so funny that like Library of Alexandria is burning and you run out with an armful of Matthew Riley's completed works.
We must save this.
We have one listener who's a massive Matthew Riley fan.
Met Matthew Riley, lovely guy, they said.
What?
Have you read Cobalt Blue, his superhero book as well?
I haven't read shit.
No, I started reading them when I became... 40K novels now. Oh, man.
You'll love this book.
Oh, okay.
He's just not... And I'm sorry for saying this, Dave. You know we love you very much. He's not a good writer. He's a very bad writer, actually.
Why has he got so many books then?
I don't know. How have he got enough money to buy a DeLorean that he drove around Brisbane when he lived here?
My favourite old Matthew Riley story was that he used to, when he was starting out, sit in the seat of the bus that faces the other seat and loudly enjoy his own novel.
Oh.
Don't. I really liked that the last page of his first book was like, this is about to be adapted into a movie. It wasn't. So there was just like no chance that was ever happening. November 16th, 5:45 p.m. A caller from Pleasant Valley Road, State Route 20, reported a soda machine in the lanes.
Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't go there.
Okay. No. Now some just nomenclature.
Yeah.
Specification here. They're talking about a like a vending machine, right?
Yeah, a vending machine for sodas or pop.
Yeah. Pop. Not a soda stream.
No. No, that would you probably just drive over
the wheel of your Ford 250.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And it's not like one of those post-mix soda fountains, I think they call them over there, which is deranged.
17 cops pulling up and immediately firing into a vending machine that's been caught on the way.
A man on Blossom Circle told police he discovered that his vehicle had been entered around 9 a.m. that morning. He last saw the vehicle there around 10 p.m. the night before, and it was left unlocked overnight. There were several items stolen from inside, including a rare penny worth $12,000.
Fuck off, there wasn't.
Rare penny.
Yeah. That was worth one penny, my friend.
Yeah.
I left the world's most expensive coin in the glove box
of my unlocked car.
No, I mean, look, this is something that probably meant something. I can definitely sympathize. I lost something worth probably around $12,000, but more sentimental value, I think. When
your virginity.
I did not lose my virginity in my 1997 Hyundai Excel, but I did lose a signed copy of Porcupine Tree's Dead Wing.
Oh.
Damn.
Oh, like a cancer scare in a dentist chair. How tragic.
Wait, what? No. Yeah. This doesn't fit into my head canon at all. the fuck?
I knew. As soon as I
Have
saw
we just
him,
never had a conversation about music before in our lives?
I know so much about Porcupine Tree, dude. I've seen them live multiple times.
What?
I don't admit that in public.
You're like a hip-hop guy. You're a hip-hop man. This is fucking insane.
Yeah, also, look, we contain multitudes. And really, like, Porcupine Tree, when you listen to them, it's like listening to, like, 12 different genres at once anyway.
I hate you.
So you find us PT fans kind of quite malleable.
Us Wilson heads really drift from album to album. We call it our Voyage 34. It's where we go wherever we want.
Well, I mean, Voyage 34 is actually genuinely good, unlike nearly everything else in his discography. And also, Wilson heads, what are we, the people from Castaway? The guy from Castaway?
I think that's the ball.
Like the volleyball.
Wilson, he made sort of like a head of a man out of Wilson brand.
He said,
what
like,
are we,
Wilson.
Home Improvement fans?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Getting advice over a fence? Is that who we are?
Jesus Christ.
Do you know there was a dick hole in that fence the whole time? They just never mentioned it.
It's weird. They pan that camera down just slightly. He saw fingerprints in the vehicle, but he's not sure if they are his or the suspect's. Okay. His neighbors have Ring cameras, but he hasn't checked with them to see if there is video yet.
Why'd you leave your $12,000 penny in your car, man?
Yeah. Like, if you know that the penny is worth 12 large.
Yeah.
Keep it
That's
inside the house.
That's a really expensive penny if it existed.
Yeah. If it's real, which I doubt. Lock your fucking car if that's where you're storing your precious coins.
Also, like, whoever stole this was like, oh, great, I made 3 cents.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to throw this in the bin like any normal person would do. November 17th is the last one. A woman on Bailey Avenue told police she has misplaced her Tennessee state notary seal. She saw it a couple of weeks ago. Yeah.
I don't know if that sounds like a job for the police.
For the police? Might police classically love to find stuff for you, yeah. I think.
That'd be a really good job, though, actually, if we're looking to, like, what the police force does in the future.
Oh.
Just like a kind of lost and found service is pretty good.
That'd be pretty good.
It is good. Yeah. And they don't have guns.
No.
No. They have more guns, if anything.
All right. Kicking down people's doors. Where's this guy's phone charger? I thought he brought it around here a couple of weeks ago. I like the idea that there's an unnamed criminal somewhere in Tennessee notarizing documents illegally.
Yeah. Oh, it's a perfect, it's really a great crime, right? It's like the setup crime.
Yeah.
It's great as well because it's a real like, hang on, is that your notarizer? Well, actually, I have a document right here saying it belongs to me.
Oh, that's so good. It is fun to think that this is like the first step in like a Heat style heist where they're like, all right, we're going to need some sort of armored car for this thing. We're going to need a Texas state notary seal. Tennessee, sorry. Like, who knows what they're going to do with this afterwards. Also fun to imagine that the Tennessee state notary seal is the aquatic animal.
Yeah,
that notarizes your documents.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking about coastal state.
Oceans like 14 or whatever they're up to included just in the, like, here's our technical guy, here's the hacker, here's the explosion guy, Jim does hand jobs, here's the other guy. Just like, why do we need this? Well, it'll come up. It'll come up once.
Yeah. You guys seem really stressed. Should we take a quick breather?
Brad Pitt is chewing on an apple being like, well, you know.
You never know you're going to need the handjob guy until you've got one.
Yeah. He's set up as sort of the silliest character in the ensemble cast, but by the end of the movie, you realize he was actually one of the most crucial.
Yeah.
And he has a heart of gold and really supple hands.
Who are you casting?
Oh.
Handjob guy. Jared Harris.
Yeah, well, you cast him. Yeah. I just found out today Jared Harris has a Twitter account. He's been tweeting about SAG stuff. SAG
he does.
Stuff.
Yeah, really? I only know that because he kind of put out a obituary for the guy. Yeah, look, it's going to come to me.
He
Lance,
put out an obituary for
Lance,
the guy.
Lance,
no, just he put out an obituary for manhood. It was actually really problematic.
R.I.P. to being a man.
Yeah.
Look, Fine. The guy from fuck The Wire.
Lance Reddick.
Because all I could think was Lance Henriksen.
Yeah.
Lance, as far as I know, he's still alive.
Yeah. But he's who I'm casting as the hand job guy. Look at him. He's washed up. He couldn't give a hand job to save his life. Oh, yeah? Tell me, are you coming right now?
You're only supposed to bloody head, Jim. Look at him. He's gushing. The countdown from 10 seconds is playing on the digital time. Sweat going down. We gotta go.
Gets down to zero, doesn't go, taps it once. I have no idea how to do this segue. What do we got here? Tennessee, that's a place.
Hand jobs,
yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you ever thought about how funny it would be to hear jerk off instructions from someone with a Dutch accent? That's the sort of thing we might explore on Netherlands Corner.
Hey, everybody, I'm from Holland. Isn't that beer?
This is from DutchNews.nl.
No, nobody had anything for that one?
No. Some days when you really feel Andrew's absence.
Yeah. Because that could have easily been 10 minutes of him trying to nail that one.
If we're lucky.
Anti-blackface demonstrators pelted with fireworks, eggs.
Jesus Christ.
It's grim over there, man. It's not good. The police were forced to intervene when anti-blackface Pete demonstrators were pelted with fireworks, eggs, and tomatoes by pro-blackface campaigners. Come on.
Why are you a pro-blackface campaigner? Have a look at your life.
Yeah, just look at how you're written about in the news and be like, oh, I'm racist, but I'm also ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm like silly racist.
Yeah, I'm like the kind of racist where people read about what I'm doing and like they're less scared and more just like, oh, bud, come on.
I'm also a little surprised because we've been on this beat for like 5 years now, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's not really changing.
No, I thought we'd seen progress. I really thought we'd move forwards. And I think by us covering it, you know, sunlight is the best disinfectant.
Yes. And sometimes the brightest sunlight comes from a quite small Australian comedy current events podcast.
Yeah.
What we
shining
need to do
a tiny little light.
Send Harry Connick Jr. over there to show them it's wrong.
Oh, my God.
That's what happened here.
He rates the entirety of the Dutch people zero.
Yeah. I was wondering by Darling Harbour, and he's doing some show in a couple of months. I was wondering by there the other day. And the way they advertise shows on this is they just project the person's giant face on one of the walls. There was just Harry Connick Jr. looking down on the people passing. There's real, like, if you were thinking about doing blackface, you would have asked me, do you know what? When I get home, I'm going to try a bit of. Oh, sorry, Mr. Connick Jr. I will not be doing that.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. It's not on. And if you're not from Australia, please Google Harry Connick Jr. blackface Australian TV and then look at the year in which that incident happened. Because, not a good country they were in.
I think it's important to note as well that as a country, we all kind of banded together and said, shut the fuck up, Harry Connick Jr. We like blackface.
Oh, man.
We did.
Yeah. You can't come over here and judge us. Oh, he should. And he literally was asked to come over here and judge.
And ironically, it was a segment called Red Faces, and they couldn't even stick to that.
Terrible, yeah. But also, we don't want to see them doing that version either.
No, don't give them ideas. This happened at the Sinterklaas parade in the Zuid-Holland town of De Leer. In total, 9 pro-Zwarte Piet backers were arrested, 4 of whom were picked up early in the morning for vandalizing surveillance cameras, police said. So they're like an organized militia of blackface people.
And there's 100% they were wearing it, blackface, right?
Well, so that they can't. It's like a balaclava.
Yes. Why are you damaging the CCTV cameras if you're covering your face?
That's right, yeah.
Well, I think they can still see your facial features.
I think it's pretty caked.
Yeah. It's sort of like the opposite of the porcelain man. 3 others had, quote, offensive weapons in their car.
I think offensive weapons, not offensive weapons.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
They weren't holding a blackface sword.
Way to damn second, this gun is racist. Anti-blackface campaigners from the Kick Out Zwarte Beat movement opted to demonstrate in Dalia because the village still has traditional beats in its Sinterklaas procession. So I think, to be fair to the Netherlands, which we've almost never done, the inner city, the sort of the big metropolitan areas, they're getting rid of their Zwarte Beats. Some of them are getting rid of the Beats entirely. Some of them are just doing the Sooty Beats or whatever. But I think it's these sort of smaller towns where if you go in there and you're like, hey, I don't know about this, they say, okay, I'm going to kill you. And then they chase you
like
out of
it's
town.
Same here, like a country town, that if you go and tell the local CWA to take the gollywogs out of the window, yeah, you're going to be like chased out of town.
That song, Try This at a Country Town,
yeah,
was about stopping
removing the gollywogs.
Yeah, that's right. Try take that gollywog out of the tea and cakes shop, you know, the main street in Kyogle.
We just like them here.
Yeah.
I remember literally like when my wife and I like first started dating, taking her up to my hometown, the Blue Mountains, and like early date shit, you go antiquing, and the idea of like, we're not buying anything, but we're looking at old stuff, that counts. And I remember pushing the door and then having like flashback visions of all the gollywogs that were about to be in this room. And oh my God, they're here and in every shop we're going to visit today.
Oh, I've made a miscalculation.
The past is fun for me. How about you?
It's honestly, the gollywog thing is crazy. Again, if you're not from Australia, like,
they were a famous biscuit based off a racist trope.
Oh, when do we? What's
they were part of the family assorted pack for a while, weren't they?
What is the current state of the biscuit? We've ditched the biscuit entirely, right? They've destroyed the molds.
I've removed that from my memory.
Yeah, there it is. So oh, whoops.
Yeah, it's the biscuit is so much more racist than you remember.
Yeah, and they give those to children. So the gollywogs are like a
racist biscuit. Yeah, and not even like a, that's got arnots on it.
Oh, and then they changed
scallywag.
It to scallywag.
Oh, scallywags. Yes. But they didn't really change the fucking thing.
They didn't change the thing. He's still a gollywog.
Oh, man. Okay, so just for
I didn't
more
remember those.
Clarity, they're like a, if for Americans, this is sort of like if you had a biscuit called the Sambo, and it was at an exaggerated, very racist, stylized depiction of a black person.
Yeah, we also had a chewy candy called Redskins as well. Just FYI, if we didn't think you just had it covered. Yeah.
And like a little mint that was just called the N-word. It didn't get sold much, but
just a Queensland special.
Fuck. When did they actually change the gollywog biscuits? Because it wasn't that
I don't
long
remember
ago,
these.
Right?
But they're still making the dolls. Nanas are still making those dolls.
Controversial gollywogs, now known only as gollies, are in demand this Christmas. That's an article from 2015. What a good country.
I was just seeing if the biscuits were on eBay, and there are two headlines that come up when I Google it, and one is item specific listing removed. Sick of it? Question mark, question mark, question mark. Followed by solved. Racist and hateful or much loved toy. So that's been solved.
Oh, you worked it out.
No. Oh no. I've opened up an article on Lifehacker Australia, part of the pedestrian group, with a list of Aussie snacks that were rightly altered for their unacceptable names. Here we go. Arnott's Gollywog Biscuits, Fags, Creole Creams, Redskins.
Pardon?
Yeah.
Chicos. Yeah, no, sorry. This is the last one that's the most important. N-word boy licorice.
Oh my God, I was kidding.
You were correct.
When?
The National Licorice Company produced these licorice blocks throughout the 50s and 60s.
But then 2017, we decided no more.
That's right. We decided to take a stand.
What's a Creole cream?
I don't know. I've never had a Creole cream.
No?
Oh, sorry. These are from ages ago. Here we go. When Coles introduced a home brand Oreo-style chocolate biscuit with white cream filling back in 2009, they decided to name them Creole Creams.
I would love if this podcast finally made its weird TikTok podcast debut, strictly taste-testing racist candies.
Hey, guys. No, they don't do hey guys on TikTok, do they? That would be Chugy, mm. I think.
No
idea. Yeah, that's Chugy. That's millennial stuff.
Yeah. So that Chicos are Cheekies. Redskins are Red Rippers. Fags are Fads. Gollywogs are Scallywags.
There was problem with Red Rippers, which was, that was also a name of a like notorious murderer that they didn't realize until like they had changed his name.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Also, they really steps. Get stuck in your fucking teeth.
Yeah, they're like, disgusting.
Just conceptually as a lolly, they are... the experience of eating them is horrible.
Yeah,
that was
nightmare.
Supposed to be a message about racism that seemed to have gone over
your head. It was satire. It was like Borat. It's not racist against Muslims. He's highlighting what Americans think of them or whatever. That guy sucks. I'm willing to say it. Sacha Baron Cohen, you're not invited on this podcast.
We wouldn't even let you on.
Love Borat, though. Big fan.
Yeah, something that Borat, I've noticed and believe is that satire requires a clarity of purpose and target, lest it be mistaken for and contribute to that which it intends to criticize. That's just something.
Yeah, and that's just straight off the top of your head.
I'm really always saying
yeah,
that.
I was going to edit out the sound of your keyboard going, but I've decided to leave it in for, for audience clarity.
Nah, it's tattooed on my leg right now.
Fuck, that shirt. That picture of that shirt as a meme gets a lot of use by the dumbest people alive.
I honestly considered it for a Halloween costume this year.
Fuck, you get punched. Surely. According to the town council, the car park on the edge of the centre was full of vehicles with bales of hay, manure tanks, and containers that, quote, could have been used in a counter-protest. Quote, a large group of public order offenders has set out to disrupt the demonstration, police said.
Kind of like a big bunch of manure coming back as a punishment for like a 90s film style bad people get pushed in a big pile of manure. Although for blackface pro blackface people, it's it's
unfortunate. Yeah. And the bales of hay also have a very old timey feel to this. It feels like they were going to march them out of town on a log. Kickouts Vita Peter chairman Jerry Afriyi told the I probably butchered the pronunciation of that name, I apologize, told the AD the parade should have been cancelled because of the violence and that the demonstrators felt extremely unsafe. We had everything thrown at us. Eggs, apples, full cans. There were fireworks everywhere, he said. The police did everything they could do to protect us and that worked well. But we went to a Sinterklaas party, which is inclusive and safe for everyone. Sorry, we want a Sinterklaas party, which is inclusive and safe for everyone. And that is not the case at the moment. One demonstrator had received a cut to the face, Afriyi said. Meanwhile, the annual procession in the Overijssel village of Enter has been cancelled because the mayor feared trouble between Blackface Pete supporters and anti-racism campaigners. The parade featuring Pete's in full blackface has been scheduled for November 25th.
Stop doing it.
Yeah. Imagine you get into local politics because you care about, your community and you want to have little things improved around the place and you spend so much of your time keeping the pro and anti-blackface protesters from each other.
Yeah, it's just like Gangs of New York style. These guys are meeting at the fucking Overijssel five ways. Oh, yeah. In Ryswick, local mayor Huri Sahin refused to give a license to an alternative Sinterklaas parade featuring Blackface Pete's because public order could not be guaranteed. Not because it was racist, but because...
it's going to cause problems
for
me.
Because it's going to fucking pop off, because the shit's going to hit the fan.
Yeah.
I just don't know.
Why do you need the blackface on so bad?
I understand that the procession of time is horrifying and seeing like your past get actively changed and erased by what you feel like are these new forces taking over the world must be confusing and alienating. You don't need a racist assistant to Santa.
I like just it must feel terrific because why else are you persisting? You must love every second of it because how is it ever possibly worth all the other drama in your life?
Oh, my God. It's not like you're not bringing smiles to children's faces. What's the
reward?
They
don't know what Pete is. They don't care about Pete.
They don't care if he's sooty or
it's
if he's
made
from
up
North
anyway.
Africa.
He's not real.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I'm... Oh, shit. We might have to offline this, but we'll have a talk after.
I knew about Santa, but I thought he's blackface friend.
That guy was real. We decided to invent Santa because kids thought that the blackface guy seemed lonely. If you were the mayor of a small town in the Netherlands and you heard about a blackface Pete Sinterklaas parade coming up, you would know that was a sign that some bad shit was about to happen. Another segment where we talk about signs of bad shit about to happen is called Omens and Portents. It's time for Omens and Portents.
You shall see hail fall from a clear sky and burn as fire upon the ground. You shall see darkness cover Egypt when the sun climbs high to noon. And you shall know that God is God and bow down to his will.
It's from WJAR in Rhode Island. Hawk shatters Providence Coffee House window and latches onto woman.
Oh my God.
Beautiful. Chaos in a coffee house as a hawk shatters a coffee shop window, crash landing inside on a patron.
Does coffee. The article tell us whether she had or had not had her coffee yet?
Don't even smash through a window and latch onto me until I.
Sorry, how dare you? Don't hawk to me until I've had my morning coffee. Ben.
Shit. Oh, Jesus Christ. Congratulations, James. You are the Bunta Vista Comedian of the Week. To tell Taps to not listen to this episode. Yeah, other comedy podcasts anticipate having more than one funny moment per 60-minute episode. Not us, baby. Coffee exchange owner Charles Fishbean said it happened Wednesday afternoon.
Sorry, pause.
Something I can clarify for you there?
Oh, Chucky Fishbean.
Chuck Fishbean. It's spelled Fishbein. So it could be
Fishbein.
Right, Fishbein to me.
Fishbein.
Fishbein.
Which is great.
Fishbein.
Yeah.
Fishbein.
He's a Fishbein. Charles Fishbein said it happened Wednesday afternoon at his Providence Coffee House. Quote, "This was the first time in 40 years that we've had a hawk come into the building," said Fishbein.
I think it's the first time in 40 years ago.
It opened 40 years ago. Yeah. So
this guy's a fucking Stephen King character.
I think.
Oh, we haven't had a hawk smash through that window and menace the guests for
since the
going
first
on
day
40
we
years
opened.
Now.
He said chaos ensued when the bird shattered the glass of a packed coffee house. Yeah.
Fair enough.
It spilled coffee everywhere. Glass everywhere. Its talon was on the woman's legs, and the bird looked like it was somewhat disoriented. Yeah, I bet. It wasn't moving, so they were able to get the talons off. It was a little bit of blood, nothing serious. He's seen it all. He's been a coffee house proprietor for 4 years. Nothing fazes him.
Remarkably cavalier about this.
Yeah, it's a hawk. Big deal. A witness took photos of the moment, with one image showing two employees helping a patron who found herself leg to face with a hawk.
What a weird way of saying that.
That's a Chris Morris phrasing. A man found himself knife to thigh with a gunman. One of those employees was Alison Dillon. She's only been on the job for a month and already seeing a first all through the window incident.
Is it usually like this?
This is a normal November for us. I wasn't picturing it to be such a large bird, so I was expecting it to, like, have died, you know, and not been in a good situation.
Yeah.
By which she means going to hell. She expected it to have died and ended up in an eternity of fiery torment. But fortunately, the bird was in okay shape, said Dillon. As far as what I had seen, the bird's beak was in okay condition. Its wings were fine.
Oh.
Okay. Two parts of the bird sorted. Fishbean said the disoriented hawk was taken outside, wrapped up inside the jacket of the woman it latched onto. Eventually, it would make its way into a tree and then hours later fly off.
Is he still wearing the jacket? That'd be sick.
Holy fuck, did that hawk have the drip?
I think I just saw every motorcycle club's logo go past.
Residents report sightings of an extremely cool bird. Imagine if it was the cool jacket from Drive.
Dillon, who handled the bird outside, said it's a conversation starter.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Like in the moment? Hey, what's up with that hawk?
Did you just see that hawk flying here?
Usually they have to use the door.
It's only going to be a conversation starter for like a short amount of time if you're talking about outside of the workplace. Like, you've got a week to be like, hey, a hawk flew into my coffee shop that I just
It's not going to come up naturally. Like, hey, had any hawks smash through your glass and latch onto the thigh of a patron lately?
Did I see the cry of a bird?
Oh, nice windows. Be a shame if...
It happens sometimes. But Dillon hopes people take away an important lesson from this crazy moment.
All right, pause. Does anyone want to take a guess at what the lesson might be?
What is the lesson here?
Don't clean your windows so much.
Yes. Yeah. Filthier windows.
Well, are you presuming the hawk was like the? So I thought there was a reflective situation here, but the hawk wanted to get into the coffee shop.
Yeah. You think he was like coming in no matter what? He knew that was a window. He was like, I'm fucking getting in there. I'm getting that jacket. Is that a Drive jacket? Is that the jacket from Drive?
Is that a screen quality Drive jacket? Not like a cheap knockoff that just has like a print on the back, but it's like embroidered and it's quilted properly, like the one in the movie? That's mine now. We have a, just speaking of keeping your windows filthy. The windows at the bar at the moment are a little dirty, which I apologize if you've come down to the Scratch Bar, Milton, and you've been like, man, these guys never clean their windows. It's because we theoretically have a window washer that comes and does the windows. We do all the other cleaning ourselves. It's just a window guy. We have a long-term business relationship with the window guy, but we have like no way to contact him and no schedule for when he comes out. There's no set amount of times that he arrives. He just comes sometimes and cleans the windows and then leaves. But we haven't seen him for ages.
Do you pay him?
Months. Yeah, so he invoices us.
Okay.
We haven't seen him for months and we got like one invoice recently, but the windows clearly, they hadn't been cleaned. So like he's not, we just don't know what's happening. We don't know what the situation is, but he's been part of the fabric of the bar for long enough that I'm not willing to challenge the system that we have in place. And so now we just have to wait for him to maybe come or not.
I think he might be an apparition. I think he's cursed to clean your windows for eternity.
Access to zero.
He's a very eccentric person as well. If you're listening to this, love your work when you've arrived. It's always lovely seeing you. But yeah, it's very strange. And like, talking to the owners, they're also, I think we have a kind of like Stockholm syndrome where it's just, you know, it's part of the spice of life at the bar. We can't get another person in because he might rock up on the day that we get the new person in and then
see another guy
there
cleaning your windows. That'd be so awkward.
He'd be heartbroken standing outside there in the rain.
He might cry.
Yeah. This is the lesson that we're learning, by the way. Quote, be a doer. You know? taking action.
You would give me 1,000 guesses and I wouldn't have got there.
Just be a doer. Be someone who does. Just do.
You see a sick jacket embroidered scorpion on the back,
get
you
it.
Take that jacket.
Manifest for yourself.
If the only obstacle between you and a screen quality, fully embroidered, quilted drive jacket is a window, a single layer window, smash through that fucker. Mm-hmm. You will. Your eyes will be okay. Your talons will be okay. Your wings will be okay. All of it. You'll be fine. Grab on to the first woman in there and get that jacket, King. Be a doer, you know, taking action when you see that there is something or someone in need, said Dylan. Yeah. I guess like putting a hawk outside is that. That's great. As for the bird who caused all of this commotion, it will find itself in the coffee house's 40th anniversary history book when they celebrate this New Year's. They opened on New Year's Day? Or they just celebrate their anniversary on New Year's?
Crazy.
Who
could say?
All cafes' birthdays are New Year's Day, kind of like horses' birthdays.
Yeah. Isn't that also true of Koreans? Horses and Koreans?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not racist.
No, that's a thing. That's a thing. Don't worry about it.
Gosh, I heaps hope that's a true fact that people can look up.
Korea birthday, January 1st.
The number of times Ben starts a sentence, is this also true of Koreans?
Under the Korean age system, babies are considered to be 1 year old on the day they are born, and every January 1st, a year is added to people's ages. Although I think they just got rid of that.
Okay.
As of this year.
Yeah. It was too much for the hospitals to handle all in one day.
June 29th, 2023, South Koreans became a year or two younger on Wednesday as new laws that require using only the international method of counting age to effect replacing the country's traditional method. So it was at one point, up until very recently, true of horses and Koreans and is now just true of horses.
We'll find more things that are true.
Let's get the middle of that Venn diagram. There.
Feels like a new segment.
Yeah. Horse career Venn diagram. Instead of trying to be divisive and find the differences between horses and Koreans, let's find the things that they share. Yeah. This has been stuff we should chat about. The 40th anniversary history book will be comprised of stories from patrons and former employees over the decades. Quote, I'm sure that the hawk is going to be, maybe not front and center, but it's going to be a part of that history, said Fishbean.
What else is part of that history? The history book about your coffee shop?
Yeah. Oh, it served like a million coffees and like little slices of cake.
Yeah.
And then on page 27, oh, by the way, a hawk smashed through the window and then took off in a drive
jacket. Bill Clinton ate here.
Yeah. Obama sat in that chair. We've got a little plexiglass cube over it now so no one else can sit in that chair. Smaller plexiglass cube around that woman's leg where the hawk grabbed it. Coffee Exchange will celebrate their anniversary and hold their annual fundraiser on New Year's Day. So check that out if you are around Providence, Rhode Island.
Oh, God, if there was ever a day for a hawk to crash through again.
Just seeing a dot growing in size and being like, there's just no fucking way. Hide the drive jackets. I know everybody in here is wearing one.
A second hawk has hit the coffee shops.
I think that was technically an episode of the podcast, Bunta Vista. James, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You've got a book to plug?
Yeah, sure. It comes out, you can pre-order it now, but it comes out at the end of January. It's called The Next Big Thing, and it's a little romantic comedy.
You fucking love those. You meet the love of your life one time, and then all of a sudden you're writing all these fucking romantic comedies. Grow up.
Write a Matthew Riley book.
Yeah. Yeah. What about like a really cool special forces guy goes to a Mayan temple or something?
Okay, in the second one, all the big things come to life and it's up to our little couple to take them down.
Sweet. Yes. Fuck yeah. And then you have to describe bits of the action in italics to highlight where the cool parts are. Man,
he sucks. There's a little guy just getting stepped on in it.
Mm. Yeah, by like the big Merino. Oh, no. Crushed by its nutsack.
Can we just close out by noting that Creole Creams came out in 2009?
Yeah. 2009. Yeah. So it was ages ago.
Again,
14 years.
An Oreo-style biscuit.
In the Obama administration.
White in the middle. White
Which
in the
they
middle.
Say why they chose that name? What's Creole about them?
I can make some inferences, but I won't.
Go on. Yeah. No, I'd love to hear your inferences.
I love inferences.
Is the white stuff in the middle gumbo?
Well, isn't gumbo Cajun? Not.
Oh,
I
fuck.
Don't know enough about this to talk about
any of this. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Nope.
Shut it up.
Gumbo is also Creole.
Yes. Okay. Vindicated once again. I'll never be racist. That's mine.
Cajun gumbo, Creole gumbo. Wow. Interesting.
Coles originally wouldn't back down
Yeah, yeah, they're like dug in.
Huh.
Well.
And that concludes Bunta Vista. Thank you so much for joining us. We will see you next week. And if you want more of these episodes, you can subscribe on Patreon if you don't want more. If one is more than enough, oh, buddy, this podcast is as free as air. You are welcome.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.